Kept you waiting, huh?
Welcome to Crosscast, episode 127, recorded on Thursday, 28th September 2023. My name is Lewis, and today I'm joined by three absolute guys. The first of them being, doesn't care about story, doesn't care about gameplay, doesn't care about graphics, doesn't care about genre, doesn't care about art style, doesn't care about the game, doesn't care about hygiene, doesn't care about work, doesn't care about food, doesn't care about Coldplay, doesn't care about Coldplay fans, doesn't care about you, fucking hates you. He doesn't even care about his gamer score. He cares about nothing, and his name is Alex.
That feels about right just now. Don't give a shit about it.
Parent of one, Alex, everyone.
Yeah, other than my son.
Husband of one.
Yeah, no comment. Next up, freshly sluiced and ready for action, he goes by many names. Milk Jug. Varicocele, Ichabod the Wandering Hat Salesman, Pew, Barney McGrew, Cuthbert, Dibble, Grub, Keith. But we know him as a slippery bugger, Ben. Hi, Ben.
Hello. What's that from again? Pew, Barney McGrew, Cuthbert, Dibble, Grub. Some old worldly Trumpton.
Okay. Something from your childhood, Ben.
Shut the fuck up, Alex.
Wow. Anyway.
It's only just released in Scotland, hasn't it? Trumpton.
No, it's not here.
That's why you know it. Yeah. So, sorry, Lewis.
Sorry. Okay. Last but by no means least, fructose, sucrose, glucose, and everything like those. These were ingredients used to make a boy. The boy. The perfect boy. Thus, Daniel Ward was born.
Thanks, Ben. Cheers, mate. The fucking sabotage there. Lewis going, pew, 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 pew. Ben.
All right. All well? All good?
Good, mate.
Not too bad.
You okay?
I am good. Oh, Ben's still got a cough.
Still got a cough, sorry.
I've got a tickly cough.
Oh, a wee bit of tickly throat.
Yeah, okay. I'll solder on.
It's got this hot lemon.
Just call him that.
That's me.
Just to eat. It's by many names.
Very good.
What have you got to drink, Ben?
What have I got tonight? I have got a bottle of Prime.
Oh, no way.
Just drinking. No, I'm kidding. That's just my son, so I was just doing that comedic effect. I'm drinking a bottle of chocolate block.
What's that?
Red wine. It's a nice red wine. South African red. Is available in this country from all good middle class wine places.
Wineries.
Is it true what they say about wine? So if you buy a bottle of wine and it's anything over a tenner, you get double the value, but anything below it, you don't. Is that right or such a bullshit?
Yeah, it's probably fairly accurate. I think this is about 25 to 30 a bottle if you buy it full price over here. And you can taste the difference.
Okay. You get from Sainsbury's?
No,
it's so famous.
You keep that in your fridge?
No, don't actually.
What's all that about then? You said you were.
I've just been a gobshite, wasn't I?
No, you weren't.
No,
you're backpedaling. No, red wine in the fridge, Ben.
No, I said red wine should be stored between 11 and 14 degrees. Celsius. And then
You never said Celsius, actually.
Well, that's implied.
Just numbers.
And then Mark went, fridges only go up to 3 to 5 degrees.
And then that's in the picture. It's what happens when a rapper marries a Scottish woman and they both pretend to like wine.
Yes, this red wine's very cold this evening. Yes, that's how it's meant to be drunk. It's very tasty.
Yes.
How's your warm white?
But no, we generally don't use the wine fridge for red wine. I was just being a gobshite and making a point.
Yeah, don't believe you. But Dan, what's in that blue can?
It is Vocation Crush Hour Everyday Paisley Ale.
Lovely.
Nice. It's nice, that one. It's nice. It is very hard to read in this light. 4.6 volume.
Mm-hmm.
We have...
Well, he's put the glasses on down on his nose, everybody.
Right, fuck it.
Squeeze me.
You had every opportunity to listen to me there, and I'm ignoring you now.
Alex, get a big bottle. I've got gluten juice, by the way.
Nice.
And this.
What you said, gluten juice then?
I've got
celiac. I'm trying to end myself.
Balance it out by doing the ultimate. What was that, Alex? Is that a new bottle?
No, it's an old one.
Where's the other
big one?
Where's Big Red gone?
I don't know where it is.
Bananarama?
It's here somewhere.
Check the bins.
Yeah.
I left it on the bin lid.
For fuck's sake, he's doing it again.
New idea. All right. Shall we just get cracking and do some pick up and play? Let's do it. All right. Pick up and play time. It's that bit where we talk about things, much like the rest of this podcast. Ben, you're clenching your fist and shaking it. Let's come at you first.
Oh, wow. Good. What have I picked up? I have picked up a couple of digital things, if we count those.
Oh, wow.
Digital goods from the PlayStation Store. Namely, the Separate Ways DLC or expansion for Resident Evil 4 Remake. Got that, fully intending to start it on Saturday night as a little spooky evening to myself. But then I also bought Baldur's Gate 3, finally caved on that on the PS5.
Can we clarify something just before you continue?
Sure.
Different in pronunciation between yourself and Dan on that game.
Baldur's Gate.
Bald.
Bald.
He's bald, mate.
But what would you say, Baldur's. Alex?
I'd say Baldur's as well.
I would say Baldur's. So we're 50-50. Yeah,
Fuck off, Scotland. Lewis. Fuck off.
Yeah. That's
going on the fucking
West
list.
Divide?
No, it's going on the list. Me. Fuck off.
East-West divide.
Absolute gobshite.
East folk.
I would say Baldur's. No, you fucking
Baldur's.
Do you say Mal or Maul?
I don't say either.
Yeah, I don't see either.
When am I going to use that in any sort of context?
I'm living in the shopping centre.
I'm going to the mall, am I? Fucking hell.
Head down to the market.
Is that Darth Mal over there? Can you see Darth Mal, anyone?
I would say Mal.
Yeah, I'd say Mal.
Mal?
You say Mal?
But only so, Dan, because it is.
If you were going to America.
Mall.
You would say Mal.
Mal. Okay. Yeah,
but there is a local shopping centre here that's known as the Mal.
Right.
Is that?
Yeah.
Is that just like
an anecdote? Why this guy called Malcolm?
Yeah.
Irvin Mal.
It's got a fucking Savers and a Sayers. That's all it's got in there.
Apologies. Which is 45 minutes. Ben.
Quiet. Go. Move.
That's it. That's all I've picked up. Move on.
Hey, Dan.
Baldur's.
EAFC. How do you pronounce that in America? soccer. Mark said that in our patron group the other day, which you can find at thecrossplayers.com/patron. patreon.com/crossplayers. Sorry, Liz, get it wrong. You can go there and find that. But yeah, Mark said soccer. Do you guys say soccer or football?
Soccer.
Say football.
You don't say soccer. Fuck off. You don't.
Yeah, football.
Football. Okay, move on.
Footy.
I picked that one.
Footy. Give a footy, lads.
Dogger.
Paolo, one chop.
One chopper.
That
Mendes is very good, isn't he? Also, Monday. Picked this up for the Steam Deck, which is a transparent back. You can't do, well, you can do the front, but it's meant to be an absolute ball ache. So I bought this and Carl's going to fit it for me. So
Carl bought a transparent back, so Dan had to buy a transparent
back. No, Dan bought one first. Sad. Dan bought a Steam Deck, made Carl buy one. And Dan's had that transparent back for about 2 months, but can't be asked doing it. And then Carl's exceptionally eager and wants to change mine. So
please.
Please me. That's all.
It's good to have friends like Carl.
It is.
It is.
Yeah. Within makes local distance. About yourself. Not like you.
Mm-hmm. Alex, but you?
Well, I've picked up EAFC as well, but I think I said I picked that up last week, so it doesn't count.
Did you?
Yeah. I'm hoping, I'm not picked anything up yet, but hopefully by this, the time this comes out, I will have picked up an analog pocket translucent parent, whatever it is, transparent edition. Since I didn't get the glow in the dark one. What?
You want an auto prompt then? I haven't picked up the analog pocket pro transparent for $249.99.
Yeah, that's it.
Transparent, you put it down, you can't find that again.
That's a good point. Are you going to use it though? Sorry,
no.
Are you gonna...
But I've wanted one for ages.
Just what you want.
Are we not past this yet? No, no, move on. Go on, Lewis. What have you got?
No. I'll pick up nothing. Back to your transparent
handheld
rocket. Was it
analog pocket?
Pocket rocket.
That's the one.
So you didn't fancy one of the new? Or is that one of the new colours?
Yes.
I'm losing track. Yeah. So it was the glow in the dark one that came out.
A couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. Right.
I didn't get one of them. I did try and get one and I missed out. By the time I put my card details in, it was gone.
That's a blessing in disguise.
How much?
$4,999.
That's so much money.
So I can add it to the list of how much money you've spent.
That's
this
like
whole year, Alex. So
$249.
Episode.
That's like £249.
Yeah.
No, it's not.
We're going to present you with your total expenditure for the year this December.
What an episode that's going to be.
Yeah.
Doing Alex's tax return.
I don't know. Did most of my purchases not happen last year? No?
I don't know. It felt like
financial
February
year,
to
maybe.
April
Martin's
this year,
listening.
You were
careful.
Burning through
serious amounts
of cash.
I've been pretty good. Although I did almost buy a Meta Quest 3 today. I haven't bought it yet.
You're a fucking liability.
Is, isn't he? Disposable income for days.
Yeah. It's all part of my fin-fined. I couldn't get my fin-fined.
I know, yeah. Okay. Laurie's like, oh, did you buy it on Klarna?
Oh, amazing.
That was peak Laurie today, wasn't it? Not knowing how Klarna works. I'm just assuming
so
it was just direct debit. Yeah, he's just like, pay monthly on Klarna. I was like, that's not how it works.
Bless him.
He has Bless. People to deal with that for him.
Just,
yeah.
All right, Ben, what have you been playing?
Well, as I alluded to, Baldur's Gate 3. And a lot of it, I must say. Yeah.
How much is a lot?
You should know.
About 15 hours, it says, in the in-game clock, I think. Which is a fair bit in just a few days, obviously. But it's, quite on the contrary to Alex's sort of first dabblings with it, it grabbed me straight away, like, and clicked with me instantly. I'm finding it very hard. I'm playing on the easiest difficulty and still finding it very challenging, like combat especially. But it is just very clever, and it does feel like, I don't know about you, Dan, but I think the biggest thing for me is how much it kind of feels like, I've never really played proper board games, or I've never paid any attention to Dungeons and Dragons, but it does feel like that sort of experience, like with the narrator and the dice rolls deciding on your fate and things like that. And it just feels like, I didn't quite understand it when everyone was explaining you can basically just do anything.
Yeah.
But it does feel like that. So I did this one section where, several different things where you don't even realize there's branching paths until afterwards. So like there was this bit where I had to infiltrate a goblin camp, and the way I did it was walked in the front door, and the guy, this little goblin there that goes, oh, you can't come past here, and basically had a conversation with him, and he goes, all right, I'll let you pass if you smear shit on your face. So I was like, all right. did it, and then he just went, right, on your way. And then all the goblins like accepted me, and I was like, okay, that's fine, that was pretty easy. But then looking it up later, there's other people that have fought this entire camp and like basically had like hours and hours of battles in this goblin camp to get through it. And I just waltzed in. I was walking around with flies around my head for the whole time. But because I'd smeared dung on my face, I just skipped past the whole thing. And there's several instances where it's just been like that. You know, I got to a fork in the road and went, you know, right instead of left. Met a guy who then helped me in another battle. And then he decided he wanted to fight me after that. Whereas when I looked it up afterwards, the way the guide tells you to do it is completely opposite. And you never meet him and you just go and have this battle before even encountering that guy. Whereas if I'd have followed the guide, I wouldn't have had his help in the battle, wouldn't have fought him, that then got me more kind of equipment and XP and stuff. So it's, yeah, just crazy, crazy, like branching paths and stuff. And yeah, really, really, really enjoyed it. I'm at a very difficult battle now where I feel like I need to. So I've died a few times. So I feel like I kind of need to approach it differently, clear out some of the enemies who end up coming into the battle, like beforehand, like pick them off before the big battle starts, rather than me being against like 20 different people at the same time and then dying instantly. It's just cool. It's very strategic and makes you feel very clever when you get something right. Lewis.
Can we just clarify what kind of character are you?
Sort of a kind of a wizardy kind of guy. Right, yeah, would you believe?
So you're called, playing the game properly.
Queso is his name.
UUESO.
That's right. Yeah.
Nice.
Yes. Quiff.
So I think the part when I'm trying to explain this to people why I like it so much, and it's not a genre that really like appeals to me. I think I played Baldur's Gate when I was younger. In fact, I remember playing it with my cousins. I think it was on the PS2 at some point. Having a relatively decent time with it, but not really connecting in, I don't know, different ways. Like I did with some games at that time. But I really do think like a good execution of a genre can trump whether or not you actually enjoy that genre or not. So like a good example of that is like Persona 5 is like a JRPG. Is the best version of a JRPG. It's like the ultimate version of that. So if you go and play that, I think if you don't care about JRPGs, that's a perfect game for you to go and actually play, because I think it's just such a good game. Baldur's Gate 3 is like that on acid. It's insane, the amount of opportunity in it. There's a community episode, you know, where they're rolling a dice and it's like, oh, be careful, you need to, and it keeps repeating and repeating and repeating. I know that's like the whole point of community is like the guy that writes it. It's a massive Dungeons and Dragons fans anyway, and they've got one episode now that's not on the air about Dungeons and Dragons. But like again, the impact of that dice roll, even when you don't realize it's happening, like the what do they call them? The like perseverance and different kind of like observation checks and
perception,
stuff that are happening.
Yeah.
Those things that are happening constantly. The mechanics that go into that game, and then the impact of time in that game is something that the player, I don't think it makes it very clear to you how that impacts your play style and the way things happen.
No.
And the timing of characters just appearing in certain ways, and like it's just absolutely insane. Even who was it, Phil, who said he'd never met one of the characters, Asterion.
Yeah.
He was like, who is probably the most beloved character now within this game because like the way he is and just like also, but for him never to have met him at the start shows just how technical and how less reliant it is on the, let's call it the traditional storytelling aspects that we're kind of used to in games. So no, I'm made up. It's gelled. I'm just getting back into it now because I gave myself a couple of weeks away because I had like busy time with work, and now I'm starting to give myself the time back with it again. And I just absolutely love it. So
that's good. Yeah. It's the first game in a fair while where I have gone, I just wish I had a whole day to myself to play this.
Yeah.
Like I haven't done that for a very long time. Do you reckon
it ranks up there with some of the best games yet? Are you going to give it a bit time to settle first?
I would say it's too early for me to call. I'd like to see, you know, in another 15 hours, if like the battles have gelled a bit more, if they click a bit more, because I am really struggling with some of them, and I'm like, I'm barely doing any damage at a time, and I'm just about scraping through some of them. So yeah, if I get a few more kind of spells and cantrips and whatever else, and then get to a point where I'm like, okay, I'm really good at this, I think that's when it will click properly.
Cool.
Yeah, it's a clever game, and you're right, the part about it holding up even if you're not, you haven't met one of the main characters, and yet the game still works. It's really good. And the, yeah, as again, the narrator, I think, makes it, puts context around everything that's happening, and it's just lovely and gamey and very silly, and it's made me laugh a few times as well, which is not something I think it gets any credit for. But
did you get to the barn?
Yeah.
That, I mean, just that as a random encounter,
it's just odd.
It's odd, but again, to have, I know it's, people are saying it's a very horny game, but it's a very horny game with purpose. And I think the purpose a lot of the time is the humor behind it and the absurdity. And that is the perfect example of it. And you can just stumble on that within the first 3 hours, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is great. It's really, really good.
Very good.
I'm really looking forward to playing it. But I think I mentioned in Discord that I don't want a massive time sink in front of the telly. I almost want it on a Switch or a Steam Deck, a Switch 2 or whatever it's going to be, just to be able to not be away from everybody.
Like, this is nailed.
So I think back to Elden Ring, and that's like 120 hours or something. Same amount of time I've spent in Tears of the Kingdom that I've managed to spend a good chunk of that, more than half, ignoring my family whilst I've been playing it.
I'd suspect that the Elden Ring DLC and Elden Ring itself would launch on the next Switch, as in it'll be on the next Switch, because I think it'll be able to play it based on the way that the innards are. And I'd be stupidly surprised if this doesn't hit Switch in some capacity, probably the next gen. But
it doesn't feel like it can't. Mark asked me the same thing the other day, whether I think it will come to Switch, and I was
looks like shit on the Steam Deck. Awful.
And the only reason I can see it not coming is the file size. It's like 128 gig or 150 gig or something like that, which is just massive.
Could be the cart.
But Lewis, you know what I'm probably going to say, but I've played a good chunk of it on Backbone. So probably at least half of my time has been playing it on the Backbone.
Perfect game for it.
Perfect. Really good. So yeah, when that PS Portal arrives, I think I'll probably still be playing this. So
nice.
Oh,
that's soon, isn't it? It's not long.
Yeah, November.
Yeah, month.
11th or something like that. Yeah.
Ooh, lovely. Very nice.
That's me.
Anything else?
Yep. No, that's all.
All right. Alex, what about yourself?
Still playing Starfield. Still playing Starfield.
Okay, Dan, what about you?
EAFC. Starfield.
I wasn't going to say much else, because to be fair, because I did get a day on Sunday, Ben, like you were talking about there, where I just got to sit and play games, and it was lovely. And I played a lot of Starfield.
You still really enjoying it?
Yeah.
Still up there? Good.
I'm kind of towards that I could go and finish it stage, but I'm just kind of mopping up little side stories and then getting involved in other ones, and every time I think, right, okay, I'll go and do this now, and then I get embroiled in something else, and then embroiled in something else, and then just enjoying that bit, and then I want to do more, and then it's just fun. Like, I'm just having great fun with it. So, but I'm at the stage now where I'm thinking, right, okay, it's time to actually go and finish it, and it's probably as much because there's so many other things I want to play as well. It's not like I'm not enjoying that, but I want to play other things. So I think this week I'll probably try and at least finish the main quest and get in a new game plus, and then I'll probably just stop playing it as much and still jump in and out of it. But I'm kind of needing the end of my first playthrough anyway. Really enjoying it.
Cool.
Very nice.
The fact you said your first playthrough shows how much you must be enjoying it.
I was enjoying it. I need to go back to it. Just want to commit to Baldur's now, I think, get that done, and then go back to it.
All right. Anything else, Alex?
EAFC, but I'll let Dan talk about it.
Okay.
Let's talk about it together.
Yeah. That sounds lovely.
It is good. The same game as what's released in previous years. It's very, very similar. They changed the UI. It feels slicker in parts, but the innards are pretty much the same. There's not much change, I think, in terms of the way that game plays. And I missed most of the last 23. Release. Didn't play it a lot. I think we played it early, didn't we, for a bit, and then jumped back into it a couple of games recently. But yeah, feels exceptionally similar, handles very same. I think there's some things you can do that are a little bit different, but nothing too dramatic. Ultimate Team is still, core could be, an absolute huge cost sink, and it's scaring the life out of me. I'm not packing players any better than what I did 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years ago. It still feels very addictive. The best player I've packed is Harry Kane, and I think I've got Rodrigo for Real Madrid that sold last night for 110k. So I'm starting to build my team around that 110k, but just completely refusing to buy any packs. I would say some of the objectives are a lot more generous, I think, than previous years, and it does feel like it's giving you a lot more non-tradable packs, which is decent. But again, as Alex and I said, they're a bit shit because you can't obviously trade those characters and those players. So you're kind of like stuck with a load of dross that you can use for SBCs, but still. It's, yeah, really, really similar. I got humbled for the first time in 7, 8 years on a game.
Not by me.
Not by Alex. Definitely not by Alex.
You sound so humble when you say it like that, Dan.
I am humble about that. Thanks, Ben. I got humbled by it. It hurt a bit at the time. And as goal number 5 went in with absolutely no reply from me, Phil was magnanimous at best. And, that was quite fluky. That was quite, even though being rainbow flicking balls all over Alex's
he's
head and stuff. He's a good player. Very good player. Technical player as well. So I've got my work cut out for me. But I've been training, guys. Don't worry. I'm not gonna let you down. I'm going to try my best to beat Phil at least once this season. So, well, on the Diamonds clubs.
Oh, I wonder how... I'd love to see the master at work sort of jump cuts to Phil just like holding the controller just like everybody else goes... Wow! Looks exactly like how I play the game.
Yeah, it's the same. Yeah, but it's good. It's fine. Decent.
You'd love the UI, Ben. You'd love it.
Good UI. Yeah, I feel bad for saying the top 3 gamers in the group last week now. I feel like I've put too much pressure on Dan.
What way?
He's crumbled under it.
Yeah.
I have crumbled.
I said you, Carl, and Ethan are the best gamers in the group.
Bring it up again for.
Oh, well, now. Maybe I was wrong. Yeah, Phil.
To be fair, I think Phil's probably up there. I think on the slide, he is very, very humble about it, but I think he's a very good player.
He also won Walkabout Minigolf.
He did.
Okay.
Did he?
I need to play a game of that.
Not Phil too. He was 30 shots behind.
Staring at everyone's feet. Yeah. I'd like to play a game of that. So let me know when you're next playing. Jump in.
Yeah.
Please include me.
You were invited, you just didn't come.
I don't remember.
Cool. So is there any notes about like is it just a reskin of?
It's a fucking
reskin, but it's a wee bit different. Like you've now got like female players in Ultimate Team and things like that, and there's a lot more like the female side of it's a lot more integrated into the game now. So it's not just like it's an added feature. It's like a fully fledged part of the game, which is fine.
Good.
And like some of the animations and stuff are really good. Like see when like people are getting booked and stuff, it's far more of a cinematic than just the referee going. It's actually quite cool. A lot of like the touches in terms of dances around the UI, like the way it shows you things and like your shots on target and all that kind of statistic stuff, really done quite well in this one.
It's funny at the half time as well when it's just two fat white guys just chatting.
There's now a Scouse lady commentator that goes shoe peb.
Shoot, all the time. Shoot, yeah.
The cinematics around it all, like, see when you, like, at the start of the game and, like, I played at Newcastle and they did, like, the whole Newcastle experience, all that side of it feels like a kind of step up. And then, at the end, like, you see, like, Alex Scott coming out and interviewing the players and then the commentators are there and then it goes into the changing rooms and you see them celebrating the changing rooms and things like that. Like, not part of the game, but just part of the kind of presentation. And I think the presentation's probably taken a step up, but the gameplay, as Dan said, is fairly similar with some tweaks, which
really
is
authentic. The gameplay was fine. That's been fine for several years,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But do you feel like you get the sense that they've gone above and beyond now that they've gone, all right, we've lost the FIFA license, we need to put a bit more effort into
everything
else?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Particularly if you were going to pick up the Switch version, like, because I know I mentioned the Switch version before, and the Switch version is finally a new version of the game. So there is everything now in the Switch version. Like, the graphics aren't there, but the content is.
That's good. Just as well, because you can't get the old ones anymore.
You can't.
Yeah. Taking them off all the digital stores.
Just be fucked off.
Oh, well.
Yeah. Every single FIFA.
It's an authentic game. It's a harder game, I think. It's harder to score than previous games. And I think the elite players...
Not for Phil.
Yeah, not for Phil. Yeah, yeah. Okay, carry on. Move on.
I have been playing an old game. And after we... So I spoke about it last week. I was mentioning whilst we were discussing Starfield... wanting the ship to be like a character within the game, I went back to one of those titles that I mentioned, and I've been playing Knights of the Old Republic on the Switch, a game that I'd started a couple of years ago, almost to the day. It's like October time 2021 is when I stopped playing after about 4 hours. Picked it back up, just my save, had a little look at a guide from on how to sort of progress, because I've forgotten, and I've just been totally sucked into that game. It hasn't aged great. The story's still there. The gameplay has we've obviously come on leaps and bounds in the 20 odd years since it first released, but it's just, I think it was one of my top 10, if not top 20, and it's still there. It's such a good game. I'm really, really looking forward to the remake whenever it comes out. I just hope that they stay true to that, to the original. Yeah, and I think it'll be there. But yeah, the OG game on the Switch, cracking experience.
Is it still definitely being developed?
Yeah, so I double checked this. So it stopped last year. Embracer moved it. It wasn't to where they wanted it to be, the quality, and they moved it. And apparently earlier this year it restarted again.
Okay.
But they've been quiet about it.
It's a worry that it's under Embracer, isn't it?
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, just like, a bit.
That's, yeah.
But yeah, if you can get past the sort of older tropes, as it were, it's a good game to play. I don't know how long it'll take me to get through, but it's a decent, chunky game.
It's turn-based, isn't it?
No.
No?
Well, it's almost like an...
I feel like we've had this conversation before.
Yeah, it's almost like an action RPG. You select the moves. It's almost all automated. You just see if you want to do a normal attack or a power attack, or if you want to heal yourself. And I guess there is an element of... they might attack, and then it comes to your shot. I don't think it is properly time based. It might be the similar style as Final Fantasy IX. What's that?
Oh, the ATB.
Yes, like that. Might be that. So it doesn't obviously present itself as that.
Mysterious.
Indeed.
But yeah, like turn-based.
I'm just, happy to be reunited with Ebon Hawke.
Okay.
Great actor.
Yeah, it's good. That's it. That's all I've been playing. Lovely. Right, okay. Shall we round out today's episode with a little bit of a topic? Gaming discussion, as it were.
Yeah.
Why not?
We're gonna touch on how our tastes have evolved over the years. How time has ground us all down slowly, and we're now just small piles of ash on the ground. How do we have any genres that we used to either ignore or hate that we now love? So, Ben, you brought this to us. So why don't you kick us off?
Sure thing. Yeah, so this was prompted by having never played a CRPG before. And
what's that? Computer
RPG, which is what Baldur's Gate 3 is, and very much enjoying it. But it's always been one of those things where I thought, it looks a bit sort of nerdy, but loving it. And it just made me think, well, there's loads of stuff that I used to just dismiss outright, or kind of like actively rally against without really properly giving it the time of day. And that's the best example for me. But like even Resident Evil 4 this year, which I may have mentioned once or twice, that I really enjoyed. That's another one. Never got into horror. Never enjoyed. Like I've played a few hours of some Resident Evil games, but then dropped out with for various reasons. I just think it's it's weird how your tastes, I don't know if it's just an age thing, but you just become more open to new stuff generally. And as you said, Lewis, you become more proficient at games, as we kind of touched on last week. You're more proficient and more maybe tolerant of different play styles as well.
JRPGs are a big one for you as well.
Yeah. I mean, that's, yeah, I didn't grow up playing them at all. I thought, I used to think Zelda was an RPG when I was growing up. And I was like, well, that's my RPG.
Yeah.
Why do I need to play any of these other silly little elf games like Final Fantasy? That just looks like a ripoff of this. It was very kind of like Nintendo blinkered and completely wrong, which I can see now, but that's what I was like as a kid. And yeah, now I would say that's probably one of my favorite genres. And my first one was probably Octopath Traveler or one of the South Park JRPGs that they did, the Fractured Butthole.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a few years ago, which is ridiculous. But it's lovely now being able to go back and, you know, try older games or older style games like Sea of Stars, and haven't managed to get into Chrono Trigger. Still seems a bit impenetrable to me.
That one for me, it's almost like it's just past that cutoff of when games got a bit easier, or like the kind of the sort of general gameplay mechanics changed ever so slightly, like maybe the mid 90s or something. Because Chrono Trigger was 92 or 93, as a total guess.
Something like that.
It might be
mid 90s.
Yeah, but I noticed when I tried to play it, it just seemed a lot older.
Right.
Than, Final Fantasy like, even 6. Like A Link to the Past, which is
is
older than that game. So I don't know.
Final Fantasy VI is like that for me. Like, it's just, it's one step too far where I just didn't enjoy it at all because it felt too obtuse. But yeah.
But then based on this conversation, will there come a time when we'll be more tolerant of them? Because I know like Final Fantasy VI and Chrono Trigger are both held right at the top, aren't they? And
they are. I think there's it's a good conversation topic, because I think there's also, you definitely are biased based on your experience of those games when you were younger. And I think I think there's almost like there's certain games that fall into that bracket. Like Final Fantasy VIII, I wouldn't wish on anyone. Graphically, it's awful. But to me, it was a very special game. First Final Fantasy game, JRPG. Never played wouldn't even know at that point what a JRPG is. But the way that it means something to me now, I don't think any of you guys could go back and play that. But not to say that that genre isn't appropriate, or not to say that you guys wouldn't enjoy it.
Quill, that's the guy's name, is it?
Quill? In what?
In Final Fantasy VIII, is that his name?
Squall.
Squall, close.
That was the little mouse in Moss.
Squall, Quistis, Zell, Renoa, Cypher. What are the other ones?
Enabling Cypher. Sleeper agent.
Yeah. Thought I was having a stroke then.
The crow flies at midnight.
Squall.
But yeah, what about you guys? Any that you can think of that you've sort of dabbled in recently and kind of got a new appreciation for?
I think I'm similar to you, but perhaps JRPGs. But there's one more for you for the future for 3D platformers, Ben. You're going to love them a couple of years' time.
You are?
I don't mind 3D platformers. Like, I like it. Just one certain one that I hate.
Yeah. I am very similar to you. Like, it was very Nintendo blinker when I was
fucking
like,
out. I was venting into you.
He lives in the south.
He's 55.
But I would have like Ocarina of Time, and I would see these other the games on the PlayStation. I'm like, I don't fucking need that. That's rubbish. I've got this. This is one of the greatest games ever. What have you got? Final Fantasy VII looks shite. I don't want
Dark Cloud.
Turn-based combat looks rubbish. And even like up until very, very recently, I felt the same way. Just something sort of clicked, I think, like, over the course of a few days, and I was like, I quite fancy just not taking my time with a battle, but being able to like plan out what I wanted to do. And this is even like people will say, oh, you don't like JRPGs, what about Pokemon? Like, can you really count Pokemon? Like, I played the first gen on the Game Boy Color back in the day, but then nothing. Like, I didn't consider that as a JRPG. I just considered
that's what I said to you guys before. Like, games like that transcend the genre. You don't count the genre because nobody cared at that point. You never played the Pokemon card game for the sake of it being a card game. You bought it because it was the thing that everyone was doing. Zeitgeist.
Yeah. Zeitgeist.
Bing!
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head there, Dan. Typically. Thanks,
tone piece.
It's a tone piece.
Circle back in that layer.
Okay, yes. We're all executives.
Enough.
Come on. Yeah. So I think that's the main. That's the main one for me, to be honest. I feel like I'm still stuck in my ways to an extent where I'll see a game and I'll just be like, "That's fucking shit." Like, I'm not even going to bother trying, and I can use an example of like the Xenoblade games, where what was the one? The remake of the first one we got.
Yeah. Xenoblade.
Yeah. Oh gosh.
Xenoblade. I'm surprised you don't say Xenoblade.
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 Yeah. Xenoblade. Those games. Like, I don't know what I was expecting, but all that Monado, that kind of stuff, when you're just presented with this huge world and then it just bombards you with information. And normally I go, oh, fuck, I'll put this up and I go on. But it just kept on giving you more and more information. And I was like, what the fuck is going on? Like that and Monster Hunter. I will not play a Monster Hunter game because I cannot be bothered. I don't want to have to go to the wiki page to know how to pause. Just push the pause button. That should be what it is. I don't want to have to push a button combination to, you know, sit down. It's just silly. It's those types of things. I'm still well stuck in my ways. And you'll get folk like Nate, who goes, oh, it's absolutely fantastic. But like, it's...
Great. Just...
like, you'll come up, you'll say stuff like that. It's just, I just will not ever be able to. At this point, it's they're my 3D platformers, Ben.
You're too far gone.
I'm too far gone
with that genre. It's the other side of it is as well is like I think we've been able to recognise which probably didn't recognise before, but when you're like the way we all take the piss out of each other. If I see Lewis has been playing FIFA, I'm like, is everything okay at home? we can recognise when we're in that kind of mire of just playing stuff that is effectively trash. Like, and now we can appreciate stuff for what it is.
£70 game, that man.
Yeah, sorry. Alex, what about you?
I mean, I kind of feel a bit like Lewis, but is I'm still kind of stuck in my ways. But what I would say is I'm far more open to trying things now. They might not click, but I'm more likely to give it a go than I used to be. But then there's some that then do really click. I think Yakuza Like a Dragon's one that I really go back to. I would never have played a game like that.
Oh, that's one of those ones. That's one of those ones that looks fucking rubbish.
It was amazing. I loved it and I can't wait for Infinite Wealth in January. Like, that's one of my most anticipated games because of how much I enjoyed the first one and I never thought I'd complete a turn-based game. Like, it was just turn-based games I got bored of in the first half hour. And that one just completely engrossed me. And I think the next one will. And I don't know what it was to do with the characters. And yes, Lewis.
Engrossed or engrossed?
Yes, I was going to say engrossed. Engrossed.
That must be a West Coast Scotland thing. Because my wife says the same.
This shit.
Engrossed.
Yeah.
And engrossed. Like, every time I'm like, I think you read engrossed. Yeah.
It engrossed
take,
me.
Take
right?
The fucking bin out. Can't do that.
Receive my bottles.
Sorry, Alex.
And Pikmin, Alex, is another one for you.
Pikmin is another one.
Great example.
I've really, really liked Pikmin 4. Probably one of my favourite games this year. Just something really good about it. Nice, easy, feel-good game. Not easy. It's not like some bits. It's not easy, but it's doesn't. You can pick up and drop it. And you don't need to. It's kind of light strategy. I wouldn't say there's a lot of strategy to it. I don't feel you need to be that strategic to finish it and to do what you need to do. Because I think in the fourth one, they got rid of a lot of the mechanics, but it made it a bit less stressful from what I understand. But Yeah, that is another one. Final Fantasy, to an extent. I mean, I finished a Final Fantasy game this year, so I mean, that counts.
Christ. First one out of us to ever finish a Final Fantasy game. Amazing.
Wow.
Nah, not even that.
But that game, again, now I've kind of gone the other way and like, I wish this was turn-based. Oh, yeah. this is a bit too platinum-y kind of thing. Which is a shame. That's Dan's influence, though, I think.
Ooh, I'll take that.
Can't appreciate this newfangled Final Fantasy.
I know. It's a shame, isn't it? Mine were interesting. So the first I thought of was Witcher 3, because I never really had any sort of affinity with like open world or action RPGs when I was younger. I say that term loosely, because you know, the Witcher kind of like genre bends quite a bit, but that got me into a certain type of game that I never really expected to. Elden Ring is the next obvious choice. I think I never expected to enjoy a FromSoft game, and it was FOMO that made me buy that game and adore it like you guys did. I think that's something, you know, a lot of people are surprised by. The one that, well, the genre that keeps on jumping out to me is just like mobile games in general. Obviously, I play a lot of Marvel Snap, but even then before that, Grindstone. Absolutely love that game. Playing, was it Florence as well?
Lovely game.
Just a lovely, sweet game. Just that really cool little experience. And realizing that, I don't know, that mobile platform's just growing and growing is quite encouraging. And now that it's starting to get quite bespoke games for it, I'm still excited to see what happens on that in the next couple of years, especially with like the Apple announcement in terms of them being able to power certain games. And yeah, I think Resi, whatever's coming to it.
It's going to be 60 quid.
They're treating it like a console. I've seen one guy stupidly rig out, I don't know if you saw it on Twitter today.
Yeah.
Where he rigged out his phone to basically hook up to a projector, and he's running a game off an Xbox controller and playing whatever it might have been.
With like, a fan attached to his phone. With a fan attached. Cool.
An RGB fan, no less. Mm. So, yeah, the mobile kind of area, I think it's one that I'm intrigued by. And because it's a certain type of game that I know. Again, games like Marvel Snap, Hearthstone, you know, again, nothing new. They've been around for 5-10 years. Gwent. I'm just curious to see what else is available and what else kind of like happens to that console aspect in the next couple of years too. So yeah, that's probably the genre for me that I'd say I was surprised by.
That's a mobile as a platform is a really good shout, actually, probably for most of us, like, not so much this year, but last year I really enjoyed like Poin P and Marvel Snap as well. And then this year I've played a little bit of Terra Nil, the Devolver one that was on Netflix Games,
maybe
something like that. And you know, like the fact you've got Oxenfree 2 launching on Netflix, so you can just play that on your phone on the backbone. That's become a real, it feels like mobile games are becoming more mainstream and more accessible. And
what was the other one that came this week? Or is it Storyteller? Annapurna one?
Yeah.
Is Annapurna that one? I always get them and Devolver mixed up. I'm sure that's Annapurna, but that's now on Netflix Games as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, loads. But yeah, the other genre you reminded me of there, Dan, is open world. Like Breath of the Wild was my first open world game. And I would say that's probably one of my favourite genres having loved.
Crazy to think about, actually.
Mm.
Yeah. But yeah, now you know, Horizon, Elden Ring, obviously, really loved both of them. There's probably others that I've played that I can't remember, but yeah, and that whole genre, that just sort of wandering around, ticking off little tasks, is very satisfying. But I don't know. It's weird. I don't know if this, everything we've mentioned, is that just because we've... Is that just a stage we're at in life where we're playing little games where you can kind of just either get lost in them completely or just pick at them gradually when it's convenient? It kind of feels like that.
Depends on the moment it hits as well. I think the Elden Ring really shouldn't have ticked everyone's boxes because the length of time it takes to play, the complexity of it, the difficulty of it, it's bloody obtuse, and that's being polite. In terms of storytelling, like every single thing about that game shouldn't have clicked with the mass market, but even the time it came out in the year, you know, it was just a weird time for a massive game like that to launch. So in effect should have had at least something not going for it, then it meant it didn't gel with one or two people. But looking at the list in the Patreon group at the moment, in the WhatsApp, and literally so many people have got Elden Ring in the top five.
Yeah,
a lot of us included. I think all of us did, didn't we, when we did our tens? We've all got Elden Ring.
Mine was in the top 20, but was it top 20? Since I've done it, it's okay. Made its way up.
Yeah. So again, that is a the one thing I would say about Final Fantasy 16 is that hasn't made people go back and want to play Final Fantasy games, whereas Breath of the Wild made me want to go back and play Zelda's. And I didn't really play a lot of Zelda's. I played Wind Waker and one or two others, but not really. Yeah, I wasn't a Zelda fan, but that made me a Zelda fan. So again, probably another example of, I don't think it's just an age thing, though. I do think it's, there's like movements, isn't it? It's just what's on vogue and what's popular at that point in time. Like there's a bit of magic that goes with it as well with games. Like it's not just like a film comes out and everyone enjoys it because it's well shot and it's a good film and loads of people go and watch it.
Yeah, timing, I guess, has got so much to do with it as well, isn't it?
Massively so. And even like Breath of the Wild, like you said, that first year, first day of the Switch, for it to launch and then be synonymous with that hardware, like that, the Switch must have curried so much favour for couple of years just on the basis of that and Odyssey coming out so quickly. So magic.
Any others that we think we might like now that you want to like? Visual novels is another one for me that I feel like I'm in point and click and sort of slower stuff like that. I feel like I'm open to that now.
Yeah,
sort of enjoyed a few of them recently, maybe not that far, but
Like golf games. Not just because you guys are playing them without me, but like genuinely, like I remember playing Tiger Woods when I was younger and I've been really hankering to play a game like that in a while. Ooh. And you said 2K the other day and I was like, really want to play that again.
But did you know, just that was just on PS Plus essentials.
Yeah. It's, you know, I can't explain it, but they're the things that I look at now and go, I really fancy playing that. Or I really fancy being informative about that or knowing more about that game. And that kind of type, and seeing whether or not it's a good example of a game like that. So I played shitloads of, what was it? What's that golf game? Curse to Golf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, just kind of like a golfing aesthetic for me at the moment is just really, I don't know, it appeals to me. And the Masters is on, isn't it, as well? So, yeah. Is it the Masters? Mm-hmm. Was the right golf? Masters. Golf, sorry. Somebody help me.
Good discussion. Great topic, Ben.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for playing along. Let us know at home.
Yeah. Put your comment below this video. Say hello.
There you go.
By let us know
engagement.
Let us know at home. Don't post something through our doors, Carl. Just post it in the Discord like a normal person.
Are we playing Know Your Engine this week?
No.
Aww.
Never heard of that game.
Yeah.
Is that Unity or Schmunity?
Yeah. Whatever.
All right. If you like what you've heard, you can become a patron for as little as £2 a month. And broadcast message. You can get into a batshit crazy WhatsApp group. You can access to exclusive content, perks, and giveaways. And we are in the process of overhauling our Patreon. So stay tuned because there may be some super sexy new tears coming your way. I mean, tears as in layers, not as in tears from your eyes. Current patrons include Ethan Hunt, Nate Ellingsworth, Carl Hughes, Sean Hughes, Jason Frost, Sarah Purbrick, Rebecca Rudnath, Luke Cooper, Kevin Scully, Mark Hammond, Runestorm, Phil Marshall, Eamon McCauley, Phil Henshaw, Daniel Muir, Games with T. That's it. Your Legends. Name can be there too. Well done. Your contributions are very much appreciated. That's it.
Mm.
That was good.
Tight show.
Very tight. 50 minutes-ish.
50 odd.
Yeah.
I do want to say as well, you can go you can get to Patreon via the website, crossplayers.com. There's a link. You can also get to our Discord there. You can also go to, as Dan said earlier, patreon.com/thecrossplayers. patreon.com/thecrossplayers, if that's easier. But come and enjoy. Enjoy.
Sure.
And join us.
Join us.
If you don't want to do that, then you can fuck off.
please keep listening.
We need this.
Leave us a nice review. We need this. Please.
Please.
And we're also a couple of weeks away from EGX. So if you go to EGX, come and say hello if you see us.
We've probably got some goodies to give away.
We've got a lot of goodies. We've got fucking 500 stickers.
Not for nothing, mind.
Yeah, you have to earn it. Need a kiss or a blowy. 500 stickers and 1,000 business cards.
Calm down, Phil.
Sofa.
Good jobs.
You, Phil. So we've got shitloads of stuff to give away. And we're thinking of some sort of silliness to be able to do on the day as well, which you can come and take part of. And then we're probably going to go for drinks after. So that's what we be doing. Let us know. Hit us up.
HMU. Mm.
Hit me up.
Yes,
HMV.
Yeah.
HMV.
Cool.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Okay.
Let's
bye.
Skip off merrily in the distance. Holding hands.
Oh. Look at that. Great minds.